Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll talk about the slaughter of the hedgehogs, billions of dollars missing in a Ponzi scheme, a fraud on Wall Street, where one investor is paid off with money from a new investor, and billions apparently have disappeared. $17 billion, is it? And typically, hedge funds are only taken advantage of by the wealthier investors. But there are funds of funds where you might put your money in a fund, your retirement account, and they'll aggregate those. And so it's hard to know how many people have been hurt. But billions of dollars, it's hard to grasp the enormity of a fraud that size. Billions and billions of dollars. So it's the slaughter of the hedgehogs. But first, the Al Gore effect, remember that? It's the SUN, not your SUV, John Zerkowski, his great website, and how freezing it's been around the country. We'll talk about that. And then remember on this show we talked about some guy named Richie who was divorcing Madonna. Remember, and she complained that he had wandering eyes and would look at waitresses. And we did a show called Madonna, You Hypocritical Pig. She's, how absurd a complaint is that from a woman who has made millions enticing the husbands of other women to leer at her. And so she puts that in a divorce complaint, that her husband looked at waitresses. Of course, that's an insulting thing to do to your wife, to be looking at other women, but for Madonna to put that into a complaint? So anyway, now she is settled out of court with her ex-husband, and he got $76 million. $76 million. So I guess she didn't have much of a leg left to stand on. You know, these women who pride themselves on their body and they sell their body for music videos or whatever, I wonder if they realize that someday, you know, for all of us, we end up in the afterlife, and our bodies typically get buried and put in the ground, and eventually worms are eating through their eye sockets and crawling around their skull. And do they realize what they're investing in, that they think that this is their worth? This is their worth. And if that's your worth, you're in big trouble, because you should be laying up treasure where rust and moth and worm cannot corrupt. That's in heaven. So anyway, $76 million goes to some guy named Richie. And this headline, an anti-kidnapping expert was kidnapped in Mexico. This just happened. A well-known anti-kidnapping expert has himself been kidnapped in a wave of abductions in Mexico. This, according to the Associated Press, out of Mexico City. Unidentified assailants snatched him from a street corner in the northern state of Coahuila. How do you say that? Coahuila? Local authorities say Felix Batista was in Mexico to give talks and offer advice against kidnapping. And now the FBI and Mexican police are working on the case, but would not say whether any ransom demand has been received. Maybe they just want the guy to retire. And we talked about the Al Gore effect with John Zerkowski, the guy who wrote the book and has the website, itsthesunnotyoursuv.com. Well, I want to get to that in a moment, because the freeze, the deep freeze much of the country's been in, we talked about that, remember, on Tuesday last week before we interviewed him. But first, one more story first. And by the way, our phone number here, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. The LA Times today has a story about a Mormon from Utah, and he's one of those fringe Mormons who defend polygamy and all. His name is Leland Freeborn, and it's weird. They have the story about him in the LA Times because he predicted, he says he's a prophet, and his followers think he's a prophet, and he predicts disaster will prevent Obama from taking office. And I just think it's weird that the LA Times covered the story. I just think that's weird. So he predicts that Obama will be prevented from taking office because of a disaster. And I just want to point out that this Leland Freeborn, this is sort of like a freeloading prophet. Because in the Bible, God said, if you have a prophet and he prophesies something that doesn't come true, there's an accountability system. That is, he's to be put to death. But today, we have prophets who really, there's no downside other than perhaps a reduction in profits. You know, they might sell fewer copies of their next book or video if they made a prophecy and it was high profile and it didn't come to pass. So a reduction in profits and sales, but not a reduction in profits, i.e. prophets who are executed, stoned because of their false prophecies. So there's no accountability. And there are famous prophets. Now, this guy, he's in a cult. He's a Mormon. And he's in a cult of a cult. That's really weird. But there are prophets who travel through somewhat mainstream Christian denominations. And they make prophecies. They might come to your local church once every couple of years. Sort of somebody like that would visit Sarah Palin, every few years they might get a visit from a famous prophet and he would prophesy, and these people would come to churches and prophesy about people in the church, and of course there's no correlation between their prophecies and then what actually happened to the people, and folks would just be so excited to hear from a prophet. They don't care if 95% of everything he prophesies is false. They don't care. They just want to hear from a prophet. And so we're helping to destroy the credibility of the body of Christ by this kind of behavior. And every once in a while, somebody will contact me and say, Bob Inyard, I'm a prophet and God has given me a word for you. And I ask him, well, would you write it down and date it and sign it? And would you give me permission to kill you if it doesn't come to pass? And I don't know why, but usually they don't want to do that. Of course, I wouldn't, but to make the point. And they think it's unfair somehow. They want to be able to be a prophet with no accountability. And I don't know, over the years, all the prophecies made about Bob in your life, which ones have come true? The ones that have said will just continue on the air, reaching people year after year for 17 years, will just keep reaching people? I don't remember the prophets who said that. I just don't remember that. And so, you know, it's interesting to interact with people who claim that they're prophets and there's absolutely no accountability. So this guy, Leland Freeborn, there's no accountability. And when Benny Hinn mentioned this ministry, he didn't call us out by name, but he came to Denver for a healing crusade. He was at the Denver Coliseum, and we organized a protest, and we had these massive signs that, you know, we're good at making big signs that you can read from blocks away. And we had massive signs. They said, miracles for sale. We had them all around the Coliseum. And so the next Monday or whatever, he was back in his studio, back on national TV in hundreds of cities around the country and around the world. And he said, protesters came out against us in Denver, and they will be cursed. They will be cursed. So that next year, we were, you know, looking around every corner, looking for the curse that never came. So all the prophets who've prophesied over the years about Bob and Yurt Live, I don't remember any of them have any bearing on reality. You know, Columbine happened and Christians were interpreting that, saying, oh, God allowed this, as though he micromanaged it, as though he decided how the bullets would fly and who would get killed, who would get injured, who would die. And God allowed this because he's going to bring about a revival in America. Well, we need Harrison Klebold to have a revival. We need murderous punks to have a revival. Oh, there's going to be a revival in the schools, in the high schools across America. That happened, right? There's a revival in Columbine. Was there a revival in Columbine? I don't know. Maybe it was a secret revival. Could have happened. So this is all make-believe stuff. And Leland Freeborn, a few years back, he was on this program, Bob and Yurt Live. He's a polygamist. And I remember the debate rather well. And it really went well. And I just looked for it online. You know, we upload our shows and we have archives. And I haven't been able to spot it. We must not have put his name in the show title. But if somebody out there recalls, calling all cars, calling all friends of Bob and Yurt Live, if somebody out there recalls when we did the debate with Leland Freeborn, the Mormon polygamist, somewhat well known, the Parowan prophet, they called him, let us know here at bob@kgov.com. You could email me, bob@kgov.com. And I'd love to get that interview and perhaps re-air it. It went extremely well. And what that means is we think for our side to show that polygamy is wrong. And he thought it'd be an easy interview because he's used to defending polygamy against Christian talk show hosts or secular people who don't know the Bible. And so he was caught off guard when I quoted his polygamy verses before he had a chance to get to them and put them in the context of what God expects of us. And it was just a great debate. It went real well. And he was stuck at a few points. And so if somebody could help us with that, please send an email to bob@kgov.com. We have a dear friend in Oklahoma, Wayne Greer, who has helped us manage the kgovarchives.com site for years. And Wayne has a good database. He might be able to help us figure out when that show was. All right, now the Al Gore effect. You know what? First I'll take a call. I don't want to keep people on hold forever. But I want to get to the Al Gore effect before we talk about the slaughter of the hedgehogs. But let's go to Lakewood, Colorado. Daryl, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes, Bob. I heard you talking about the Ponzi scheme a little while ago.
Right.
And many of the news organizations are referring it to as the largest Ponzi scheme ever.
Okay.
But apparently they're forgetting about Social Security.
All right. Now, Daryl, you're pretty funny because that's a great point. That's a great point. Supposedly there's a Social Security lockbox where they have all our money that everybody's put in, tucked away, to make sure we could get it back, right?
Isn't there a lockbox? No locks. No box.
There's no locks on the box?
And there's no box.
There's no box. You mean that the federal government has just been taking that money and using it?
Yep.
And, you know, if you have a company and you have retirement benefits, a pension fund for your employees, and then you're dipping into that fund, you're using it to pay, you know, your own salary, the company's expenses, that's stealing from your employees. You're stealing their pension fund.
Yes, it is.
And so that's theft. That's a crime. Now, United Airlines, I think they've had a problem like that, but aren't they an employee-owned corporation, United Airlines? And so that's different, because if you're an employee-owned corporation, the employees bear the burden of the debt of the company.
Right.
So if that pension fund has to be used to pay creditors, the people who sold United Airlines fuel, then so be it. But in the case of the federal government, they take money from us by force. They say, we're going to use this for you when you grow old. And then they spend it. And they say, oh, that's okay because we'll take other people's money that's supposed to be for their retirement and we'll give it to you when you need yours. And it is a Ponzi scheme. It's fraud. And it's blatantly committed by the federal government. And, Darrell, how about our politicians who run, like George W. Bush, you know, famously, and says, well, I'm going to give this much money to each American family. And the election is coming up, and Bush says, well, I'm going to give, you know, hundreds of dollars to every family in America. What, why? So we'd vote for another Republican? I mean, it's bribery, it's fraud, it's a Ponzi scheme.
Over the years, there have been many politicians who have talked about campaign finance reform.
Yeah.
And yet, they never talk about the biggest financial problem, and that is the ability to buy votes with our money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the campaign finance problem that's all out of control.
Yeah, I very much completely agree with that. Do you have anything, any thoughts on this Bernard Madoff's scam where he made off with, and I don't know the figure, it's hard to tell from the reporting, a $50 billion fund, $40 billion fund, but is it $17 billion that's actually now evaporated? Or is it more? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I don't know how much of that money that he's secreted into offshore accounts and things like that either.
Right. Apparently, before it was exposed, he realized he couldn't keep it hidden any longer, that he was telling family and friends he was trying to siphon off $300 million to those who were close to him in the days before it all, you know, became public. And also, Darrell, this idea that he did it by himself, Bernard Madoff, you know, he's a former president of NASDAQ, and that he was the only one who knew
sure
for 20 years
was.
It was a Ponzi scheme. You know, how do you do that? And apparently they had a top secret room. You know, you need quite a few people to run a $50 billion hedge fund. And they had a top secret room where they did their, you know, brilliant sort of like Big Mac formula, Coca-Cola formula kind of work. And, well, he was the only one allowed in that room? No, they say, if it's true, three people were allowed in that room. But three people are not one people, as it's already been said. And his two sons turned him in. And they've helped him run this company. And that seems a little too convenient. Like Dad says, hey, kids, it's falling apart, so let me take the rap. And I'll be out on a $10 million bond anyway.
Right. And at his age, you know, stretch the trial out as long as possible.
He's 70 years old, right?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, when you steal money like this, I mean, people will die as a result of this. People will die.
Absolutely.
Yeah, people will die because of the extraordinary stress and devastation that companies and individuals, families will go through. People will die. $50 billion represents a lot of positive standard of living.
Right. Now, Bob, do you suppose that our justice system will require that he make this right, make the people financially whole that he
got
this money
from? No, but of course, Darrell, he won't be able to, of course, right? I mean, he simply won't be able to. It's too much money. It doesn't matter.
How about partially?
Well, I think there will be vengeance. I mean, this makes, you know, Enron look like child's play. This, I think there will be vengeance brought out on him and others who could be held accountable. But our system, you know, Darrell, he ran a business that, like, half of it was unregulated, the other half was regulated. You know, hedge funds typically are not regulated. And it's supposed to be buyer beware, investor beware, because it's for a more exclusive investment club. But these funds of funds end up getting, you know, small-time investors, people whose lives are somewhat dependent on their pension, into his hands. And then the part of his business that is regulated, I think that's part of the, I've been complaining about this since the whole bailout mess started, that the federal government, what the federal government does is they say, oh, well, we insure, bank deposits, and we insure certain pension funds of major corporations, and we regulate these industries, and as a result, there are thousands, no, millions of families, millions of businesses that do not do their due diligence. They assume, I don't have to care how my bank is run. It doesn't matter to me because the federal government is insuring it. And the same thing with so many aspects of regulation. Oh, the regulators will make sure that this guy's not a crook. Well, the regulators are easily paid off by a trip to the Bahamas.
That's right.
So you have 100 million families, all that market pressure evaporated by the federal government doing things it should not do. And as a result, we have misery. People suffer because we disobey God. Thank you, Darryl.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call. May God bless you. The slaughter of the hedgehogs. So this guy, Bernard Madoff, with a lot of people's money, didn't he? He made off with a lot of people's money, and he was returning over 1% a month for, what, 20 years, was it? You can't do that well. You can't do that well. It's like entropy. Talk about our debate at Theology Online. It's like entropy. Things tend to, there are the laws of physics, and then there are the laws of financial physics, and you just can't do that well. You can't return 1% a month, year after year, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. You can't do it. And the regulators, they had received complaints about Madoff. They received complaints. They didn't want to address it. Why? He's a former chairman of NASDAQ. So people put their faith in regulators when actually that helps to undermine the credibility of an accountability system. Because government regulators will not care about the money like they would care about their own money. If the government regulators had to have their total retirement pension in depending on the success or failure of the industry or the company they regulate it, then you could see how they would be more interested, because you don't spend other people's money as carefully as you spend your own money. By the way, thanks to our callers, the Leland Freeborn debate was December 10th, 2002, and we have it online. All right, so we'll put a link to that at kgov.com, and if you want to hear an interesting debate with a leading polygamist in America, Leland Freeborn from today's Los Angeles Times, and Bob Benyart Live, you know, we debate, what topics do we debate? Evolution, entropy, abortion, homosexuality, age of the earth, polygamy? How does that fit in? Economics, tax policy, atheism? You know, when you rightly divide the Word of God, when you have a good, solid overview of the Bible, it helps you develop a lifelong ability to observe and see, more easily see truth and distinguish it from lies. And so you're ready to take on people who misrepresent God and His Word in reality. All right, the Al Gore effect. Last Tuesday, we reported a temperature of minus 81 degrees forecast for Siberia. And we mentioned that some were saying that's going to bring, you know, snow to even, for example, possibly Southern California. And 2 days later, it was snowing in Houston, in New Orleans, of all places, in Houston, earlier in the season than it had in 64 years. And so now we have this from Denver. The National Weather Service reports new record low temperatures in Denver, the lowest temperature at DIA on record, well, for Denver generally, minus 18 degrees, establishing a new record low temperature for December 14th, breaking the old record of minus 14 degrees set back in 1901. So it was the coldest on that day in history in the last 107 years. And we're in the midst of a global warming crisis. We have BEL listeners in Montana, right? How's the global warming doing up there? From the Great Falls Tribune, White Sulphur Springs reported 29 degrees below zero to the National Weather Service. That's cold, stretching way beyond the previous record of 17 degrees below zero set there back in 1922. So from 17 below to 29 degrees below zero, all-time record cold in White Sulphur Springs. Where else are we? It's just freezing all over the country. New England. Yahoo News says New Hampshire, Massachusetts, the New England states could be in for even more loss of power as they have the ice age has hit early and it's hit New England. You know, it's going to get more difficult for the global warming hype to continue to be perpetrated as 31,000 scientists have signed the petition project in America. And have you heard about the new GPS weather gathering technology? Yeah, the GPS, Global Positioning System, their satellite transmissions blanket the Earth, and they're now using those transmissions to collect weather data. It's just brilliant. It's as though the GPS, the data through the GPS system, is now being interpreted as though it included a million weather balloons all over the world. It's just brilliant. Well, you know the Doppler effect when a siren is approaching you versus getting further from you? Well, that's like GPS signals trying to fight the weather and the wave heights and storms and humidity. It's pretty exciting. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. KGov.com.